This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It falls to Ile on the volley! What a finish! Gotti Kingda has struck! It falls to Polito and he puts it in! To Johnny Russell, first time shot, and Johnny Russell has a hat trick!
The Sporting KC Show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, superior light beer with only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra. Find your fit.
Now your host, Nate Buchady.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts and wherever you stream your video content, whether that's on the 810 Facebook page, the 810 YouTube account, whatever it is, you get to see our pretty faces that way, and we appreciate you for joining us. My name is Nate Buchady. This time, we're going more the merrier. We got Jacob Peterson joining us on our panel. Always Allie Trost and Carter Augustine with us, but we got the answer with us today, too, to break down this stuff. So it's a special edition right here. Jacob, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
Yeah, so you got an MLS Cup. I love the decorations there. You went all out. You got a picture of the MLS Cup back there with the scarf. You're ready to go.
Yeah, this is all I could find in the 5 minutes before we started recording this.
So we got the decorations. We got Allie Trost. She's been, what she does is basically move around different parts of the apartment. So it seems like she lives in a really big place.
No, I just am trying to finally get a studio after living in this apartment for almost 6 months set up. So now that I've reclaimed the office area, I can finally make it my own.
Yeah, I'm impressed, Allie, showing us off and getting the Zoom studio ready just in time for us to stop Zooming, hopefully, here in the next few months.
Yeah. We'll never stop Zooming. It'll never happen. Never. This is the way we're doing this going forward. I, for one, like doing it in my basement where I clearly read a lot. So, yeah, you know, I'm a very well-read man. I had to go out and buy those books for my Zoom studio to hold up the appearance that I'm a well-read person.
Hey, just a quick aside, but on Zoom, I hear it's a death to snow days now. The kids will never get a snow day again, evidently, right?
That's what I'm hearing as well. Yikes.
R.I.P.
My heart breaks a little bit for the kids on that one. Ouch. Ouch. That hurts a little bit. You know what? Tough cookies, kids. We had our snow days. You fend for yourself now. All right, let's get to it. We have a lot to get to on the show today. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Andreu Fontas that I think you'll want to hear. It's a man that's been through a lot. He had his second child, a little baby, during the middle of the pandemic while he was going through a year-long battle with an Achilles injury that required surgery, had to isolate from his team, his family's living in another country, all these things as he's trying to work his way back, and he is back. And you could see what that goal meant to him that he scored when Sporting Kansas City got their 4-0 win against the Rapids. So we're going to have a good, long conversation with Andreu Fontas about all of those things coming up on the show. We're going to talk about that 4-0 victory against the Colorado Rapids that put Sporting KC, at least at the time of this recording, at first place in the Western Conference. And we'll talk about the upcoming matchups that we'll have before the next Sporting KC show. You've got at Cincinnati on Wednesday night, then last home game of the regular season for Sporting against the Loons on Sunday. So we'll preview those as well. But guys, let's start off with that 4-0 victory over the Colorado Rapids. And I want to start with you, Jacob. This performance by Sporting KC, we know what Colorado was up against coming into this game. Is that what you expected? Better than expected? How would you rate what you saw from SKC in light of all the context of that game this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking right before we went on air that we had a good feeling about the game, but you know, we've said that before, and it hasn't always gone the way that we thought. So I think what was good is the way that the team addressed the first half. I thought, even though you hear from Peter Ramis, and I've spoken to a few players where they didn't think they played that well in the first half, I thought they set the tempo. Maybe they weren't as clinical as they needed to be in those moments in the final third. But I thought overall their pressure was overwhelming. They didn't give up a shot in that first half. I think that that's kind of what set it up. And then as soon as they scored, I think you could see Colorado's just body language, all their heads dropped. They knew it was going to be tough. And then once that first goal came, you could kind of feel that there were going to be a few more. But I think it was just a good performance. I'd say it's something that you expected with the way that Sporting's been playing, you know, these past six games or so. But still, you got to go out there and do the work, and they certainly did that.
All right, Carter, I'll move to you next. You were down there on the field. We have seen matches like this in the past where Sporting might go out and dominate the game, even a couple times this year, but have nothing to show for it. Did you get any sense of frustration or anything like that from the first half of the game? And especially with the way the team responded, it certainly didn't look like it in the second half.
I didn't get a sense of frustration. I feel like that usually kind of sets in around the 60-minute mark in a game like that, or, you know, maybe a little later. And it was right around then when Alan Pulido pops up, right? And I think Jacob just mentioned it, but that first goal to me really felt like it broke the Colorado resolve. Colorado really never looked like testing the Sporting goal, but maybe, you know, they can gain in confidence if they're holding on to that 0-0 for an extended period. And is that what you guys felt, that first of all, that goal broke the back of Colorado? And then second, I mean, that's why they bring Alan Pulido in, right? I mean, that goal is, that's an incredible goal. And it's much more difficult than he made it look.
Yeah, Carter, 100%. And Vermees talked about that in his press conference on Tuesday, just saying, you know, I was really proud of the way that our team was able to create some really quality chances during the time that Alan Pulido was away with the Mexican men's national team. But you can tell that Alan Pulido in the game just makes a total difference, because he's able to put the ball in the back of the net, even when, you know, the quality chance doesn't always look like it's going to. His goal, he had so many other opportunities that were easier goals than that one, but it's just, you know, you can't leave him in and around the goal for even a second. He's so elusive. He has such a nose for finding the back of the net. And I felt like that did really just kind of break through the pressure. And not to say that Sporting wouldn't have been able to do that, even if Pulido was out in this game, but I just think that the way he's able to find the back of the net and create those opportunities is just second to none. So I thought, you know, that definitely you could feel the alleviation, and then, yeah, the floodgates open and we all know what happened next.
And another one of the big top talking points, guys, from the game, our next guest coming up, Andre Ufantas, gets put into the lineup minutes before the game, Jacob, and doesn't know that he's going to be starting. He'd played just one game since having that Achilles injury a while back. And look, we talked about it. This Colorado team did not exactly have a lot in terms of chances or dangerous things that he had to defend. But that's two performances now by Fontas where I don't remember any moments where I thought, ooh, he just got beat there, or he was in the wrong spot, or he made a big mistake. What have you made of his two performances, and what do you make of his performance, especially considering the fact that he didn't even realize he was going to be starting until maybe a half an hour before the game?
For me, yes, that's a difficult thing to do when you're, you know, you go through those warmups. If you're starting, you're locked in and everybody's ready, but you know, in soccer, especially as a center back, you're not thinking you're probably going to go in even maybe in the last, you know, 10 minutes of the game or something. But he's such a good pro, and I mean, he's got so much experience. So I thought he would be okay with that. But for me, the most impressive thing is, you said he's been out for, you know, almost a year, and now he's gotten thrown in here in two games, and he looks like he's been playing the whole time. He almost looks better than he was last season. So it's really, to me, that's what I'm surprised about, just how good and how seamless he's coming in the lineup. And I mean, he's playing there. It's almost like him and Amadou Dia, their relationship's already, you know, blossoming into looking like they played, you know, 10, 15 games together when, you know, they've played two. It's just, it's really good to see that guy who hasn't been playing it and gets inserted back in there. And it, literally, it looks like he's been playing in there the whole time.
Allie, you've spent a lot of time talking about that rotation on the back line. And there has been still some changes. I mean, Fontas in, Reed in. The one guy that's been consistent has been Roberto Puncic. But it seems like with this rotation that they've had and with Dia and Lindsay back there, do they finally have at least some sense of stability for the first time in 2020 on the back line?
It sure seems like it. And that's what makes it even more impressive that, you know, Fontas was able to come in and fit so seamlessly into a back line that's really struggled. And whether that's because of the rotation or because of some style changes that Ramiz was mentioning in his press conference earlier, and just trying to find, you know, the right approach, whether that's, you know, making up for players who are out, making up for, you know, what you're expecting to see from an opponent. So I think that defensively, this team seems to not only have found their back line, but might even have some options, which at a time it felt like they maybe didn't have as many rotation options because of the drop off we were seeing in so many situations where they were conceding what Vermees would call elementary or routine goals. And now you're seeing a back line that is assignment sound, a back line that's comfortable playing with different players. And I think the insertion of Amadou Dia into the lineup has been huge for this team, not just defensively, but in the attack as well. Jalen Lindsay gaining a lot of confidence, and it all does kind of come back to Puncic. And then we've seen him now with Reed and Fontas find a really good approach to win games. And that just starts with great communication. It starts with, you know, great positioning. It's also, I think, you know, just assignment sound defending. And I think that goes to show in the way they're able to really shut Colorado out of this game. I think it was a bit more of a rusty Colorado team than a rested Colorado team, but even still, the way that Sporting was playing and the way that they've been playing defensively has been really promising moving forward. As long as they can stay healthy, I think they've really got a lot of things figured out.
And I want to get Carter and Jacob both in on this, because Jacob and I spoke a little bit about this during the course of the game. And Carter, I know you brought it up a few games ago, the performances of Elie since returning from Barcelona. And I don't know about you guys, I don't remember a stretch where I thought he's looked better. And I know that he looked really, really good as a player when he first arrived with Sporting Kansas City. But Jacob and I both kind of commented on the fact that he seems like he's playing with a reinvigorated spirit a little bit right now. And Carter, we know in this system that that's an important part of the defensive makeup of this team too, isn't it?
Certainly is. I agree with you guys 100%. You know, I think we're seeing kind of like 2018 Elie, where he was just fantastic. And of course, they were the best team in the West that year. And when Gianluca Busio came in and he played really well in that position, there were a lot of people, you know, speculating that, hey, maybe he's taking this position away from Elie. And it's really good to see Elie come back and say, this is going to be a fight if you want this position. And they're now looking at other areas on the pitch to get Busio involved because he's played so well. And we've heard several times, I know, Nate, you've talked about a few times, but they feel comfortable putting him in different positions on the pitch because they feel he can contribute. But it's really great to have Elie back there. And I agree, Jacob. I think he's been fantastic since he's come back, and he's cutting out passes. He's keeping things simple. And that has also really helped this back line and this defense come together.
Yeah, Carter, you're right. And, you know, seeing it up in the press box at home games, obviously we don't get to see that on the road these days, but the ground that he covers and the decision of, all right, when do I release to go pressure maybe a winger if the outside back, if Amadou Dia is up or Jalen Lindsay's up, he's recognizing that, he's committing to it, and he's right almost every time. I think last year we kind of saw he had heavy legs and guys were, you know, kind of running past him too easily in the midfield. And this year, especially in this run of games, we're not seeing that. We're seeing him where he's good in the tackle, reading the passing lanes, picking off balls. I was doing a stat dive before the Cincy game here, and Elie is second in the league in possessions won per game. And that's just, you know, I know stats don't always back up what we're seeing, but he really is playing very well. And I think as much as The back line's doing great. I think that is a big piece of that, just him coming back there and being that steady force that kind of sits right there and allows the outside backs to get forward and knowing that there's cover there, I think frees up a little bit more of the overall team play, but he's been great. I agree.
Okay. So I have to admit this, I don't know, maybe this, I lose credibility by saying this, but the stats sometimes confuse me. So maybe you guys, because the possessions won, that was the stat you threw out there, right, Jacob? We looked after the game because I said, man, Elie must have had 7-8 interceptions in this game today. And I think statistically he got 2 interceptions and 16 possessions won. So I don't know what the difference is. Maybe you guys can help me out. But whatever it is, he's winning the ball in those spaces, Allie, that I guess they're not all interceptions, but it doesn't really matter if at the end of the day it's Sporting Kansas City getting the ball back, right?
Well, which is so important too for a team that is so possession based, and Elie just really helps them keep that control. And Vermees has called him the maestro in the past. You know, he really is. The game goes through Elie, and this is not to knock Busio when he was in that role, but it just the way that Elie plays it is so much more fitting to the style of play coming out of the back that Sporting likes to play, and it has allowed Jacob, like you said, the wing backs to get forward more. It has, I think, helped the communication with the two center backs and helping move the ball through the middle and then out to the wings. And I also, just to bring Busio back into it, think that his time playing there, and I even asked him, you know, how is now watching Elie in that role and having him on the field helped you? And I think it's helped him not just out on the wing, but also in the attacking mid roles that he's played. So I don't think that you can, and I don't think it was talked about much too when Elie was away for such a long amount of time because Busio was doing so well, just how much Elie does help this team. But I think that's a key depth piece for Sporting, and it's just nice for them now to know that, hey, if Elie does need some time off, they do have Busio to come in and play that role and do it well. But Elie has proven in these last few games that he is their number one at the six.
All right, so Sporting KC get the 4-0 win over the Rapids. Now they'll try to keep that pressure on first place in the West with the game at Cincinnati, a Cincinnati team that if you just look at the standings, they're at the very bottom of the table. That does not mean this will be a cakewalk on Wednesday night. We'll talk about that. We've got Allie Trost, Carter Augustine, and Jacob Peterson with us. We're going to take a break first, though. We're going to have a conversation with Andreu Fontas next on the Sporting KC Show. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810, WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video content. We appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate the man that's joining us now on the show, Sporting KC defender who opened his MLS scoring account in the big 4-0 victory that Sporting posted against the Colorado Rapids this past weekend, and he was a crucial part of the defensive effort, which basically didn't allow any chances through almost the entire game against Colorado. So he's a team of the week guy in MLS as well. Andreu Fontas joins us on the show now. Andreu, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you. Very good. Very good.
So you've got a pretty nice smile on your face today, but the smile that I saw from you when you scored that goal, that was a happy man. Can you tell me what the emotions were like for you after you scored that goal in those moments?
It's difficult to describe. As you said, I think my face reflects exactly how I was feeling after all this long road that I've been through, all this time away from the things that you love the most, that it's being with your teammates, play soccer, enjoy the game. And well, that goal, I think it was like, this is over finally. I'm back and I'm enjoying in the field again. And wow, it was amazing sensation.
Andreu, you said after the game that no one really understands fully what you've been through in your journey back from injury outside of maybe your wife and kids. And so I'm curious, what was their reaction after the game when you get home and they get to see the goal and all of that exciting stuff?
My wife, when it's that late, sometimes she waits me in the bed, almost sleeping. And the other day she was awake, of course, obviously waiting me downstairs. And well, she was so happy for me. Obviously, as I said, we've been through a very difficult moments. And And after that victory, it's not just the goal, you know, it's the how we played, the team, not just me, all the team. I think we did an amazing game, 4-0, almost not conceding any chance on the other team. First on the West, a lot of things together, and obviously she was so happy for me, and well, was great.
Yeah, it was almost more about what the goal represented, that it was part of all of those things that you just mentioned. That was a perfect way to cap off this return for you. How old are your kids, by the way?
Now, the old one, I have two daughters. The old one is 3, and the young one is 4 months now, 4.5 months.
So they're not old enough to appreciate what happened on the field yet, right?
Not yet, no. No. But still, the old one, she was so happy. She said, wow, yesterday we were watching the game again. I watched the entire game. I like to see the games always after we play. And when I scored, she said, oh, Papa, Papa. Like, she's shouting there. It was fun to see her reaction also.
That's sure. Sweet. Go ahead, Nate.
Well, so the reason I asked that question, Fonte, is because this year we've talked about how difficult it has been for you. And I do want to kind of get into what it has been like for you trying to come back from the injury. But then you also have the pandemic thrown on top of that. You're living in a foreign country with your wife and 2 little kids. I have 3 kids, and I know what it's been like in our house with everybody locked inside. You have to be incredibly careful, right? You have to keep a tight bubble so you don't get infected and bring it to the whole team. So how has that process been just with you and your family through all of this?
Wow, crazy. As you said, you know how the kids are. Imagine having a 2-year-old kid and my wife pregnant at the beginning. We were extremely careful because we didn't know exactly what could happen if my wife gets it, obviously to also bring it here to the club. So as you said, it wasn't just my surgery that I had in my Achilles. It was after that, the pandemic, not being able to train and to end up my recovery in a good way here with the team or even with a physiotherapist or training here in the Pinnacle that we have everything. I had to train at home. So I used we have a small room for our kids to play. And I put like my gym stuff there. So I said, sorry, but now we have to share this space. It's been crazy. But I think we did a great job. We did in the best way that we could. And at the end, I think everybody this year is suffering a lot. So just dealing the best we could. And I think at the end, it was too long, but it ended up good.
So, Andre, I mean, we talk about the pandemic and then trying to come back from an injury that required surgery too, and getting back up to game speed, fitness, all of those things that are required to be just ready to sub into a match, let alone, you know, play significant minutes. So how are you feeling right now?
So good, so happy. As I said, it's been so long. So after my Achilles injury, I was good. I was feeling very good, and I had a problem in my quad. I would say it's normal after long injuries and long recoveries that you're maybe are protecting a little bit that zone and you charge more other zones. And I had this quad injury. As I said, then the virus also, this quad, I had another re-injury there. I couldn't travel to Orlando. So it's been, as I said, so hard. But after that, I start, when they came back to Orlando, I would say I was ready to train. I've been training a lot. I've been working a lot. And these past weeks, I felt myself ready. You know, I've been training a long time with a group, but you know yourself when you say, okay, now I think I can do it. I can do it. And it's so I had the chance in Dallas. Maybe it wasn't the best result, but at least for me in my personal mind, I put in my head that okay, I'm ready. I'm ready again, and I can play. I played 90 minutes. As I said, I think we deserve a point at least that game. We didn't get it, but After that, I said, okay, I'm back and I'm ready for everything. And the other day, as I said, so the goalie maybe makes everything big or bigger, because the when you score, it's like the big prize. But I'm so happy about my performance and the team performance on the defensive side also, that I think it's key and crucial to not concede or not score, because we have a lot of talent in front and we will score. Not always, but almost every game. So that's why I'm so happy.
Well, if the goal had counted in Dallas, then you would have scored in every game. So I think we could say you guys still really have. We're visiting once again with Andreu Fontas, and I want to ask you about the mental part of working your way back. We know you have to get your Achilles back healthy or your quad back healthy. That's a physical thing. But when you talk to players who describe what you've gone through, you're away from your team. You couldn't be with your team. That's very difficult for a player. I know that it takes that patience every day. You have to do your therapy and maybe becomes monotonous and you have to find this motivation to keep going. And I hear different players talk about what they use as motivation to get themselves through a time like that. What about for you? What was your motivation? How did you keep yourself going when you had to be out for so long?
I would say my motivation is to be able to do what I did last week, or last game, or in Dallas. So, as you said, when you're injured, you realize how much you love what you do, you know, when you are not. So you realize how fortunate we are of doing what we love the most and being able to every day come here and train. And when you are so I had a lot of bad injuries and I learned this a long time ago, but I think when you are playing, training every day, it seems like it's normal. It seems like, it's okay. Oh, today it's cold, I don't want to train. Or and then you say, wait a minute, because when you have an injury, and if it's a bad injury like the one I had, you say, it's like you value more everything, every little training, every detail. So my focus was on being able to do it again, to get through another difficult injury with difficult surgery. As I said, it's been not the first one in my career. I hope the last one, yes. But I had only this in my head. And of course, there's highs and lows during the process. But I don't know, I would say I had Felipe that was in a similar situation. We were one helping each other, I would say. So he's been so helpful for me during all this process. We suffered together. We've been here alone when all the team was in Orlando. As I said, this year makes everything more difficult, because if this didn't happen, we would stay here in Pinnacle every day at least with them, not training with them, maybe changing some schedules or some things, but with them. And this year it was even more difficult, because they left completely, so out of town, nobody was here with us. So we've been him and me alone, and I don't know, we had each other and we said, let's go. And after the game, so he was so happy for me, obviously. And I said, now I need you to do the same. So I'll wait you here, and you will be back also. And I don't know, these things, I think, help a lot and makes the things a little bit easier.
Andrew, it's cool to hear you talk about pushing through, because in Peter's press conference earlier today, he really had a lot of great things to say about you, just noting that you're a player who doesn't cheat the process. You don't cheat yourself, you don't cheat your team, and you don't cheat any of the steps that need to be taken in order, you know, to have that kind of comeback. And so I'm curious, you know, working with Vermees and working with the training staff, how did they help you kind of, you know, have that same sort of mentality that is something that you have on your own, but something that, you know, they help you see what, you know, what the goal is and give you the necessary tools to work towards it and achieve it?
Yes, of course. So as a player, we're always selfish, I would say, a little bit. You know, when I was ready, so as I said, it's not my first 2 weeks training. It's been a long time training, but I also knew that all my teammates were flying, you know, and I was almost 1 year without playing soccer. Yes, maybe in the gym and fit, yes, but not in the soccer way, you know, in the soccer fitness, you know. So I had these patients, and they also told me, listen, take it step by step. You've been away a long time, a very long time. And now it's time to do the steps that you need to do, and don't rush. You know, you have to take all the steps. It's not today no and tomorrow yes. So that's another difficult part, that you see that you are there, but not yet. You know, and I don't know. So it's been very, as I said, hard, because it's hard to deal with it, but also understandable. You know. Makes sense what everything that I've been through after, I would say after Orlando is when I first start training with the team, and it takes also long, but as I said, with totally understanding the process.
Andre Ufantas is our guest. You also mentioned that you were staying together with Felipe Gutierrez quite a bit. He's working back. We don't get to see him much these days. How's he doing? Can you give us an update on how he's doing?
No, yes, of course, he's doing good. He's doing very good. He had a very difficult surgery, but he's also been through there, through this same injury in the other leg. It's a little bit similar that what I had, because I also had this same one in my other leg. So he was back one time, and he will be back. I'm sure he will be back another time. He also suffered a lot during his career of these bad injuries. And we were talking that it's enough. We did. We've been this too many times, and he's working so hard. He's doing great, and I'm sure he will be back, and we will enjoy with him again.
And like you said, you guys got to spend a lot of time together, and still do. But when the team was away in Orlando, how much, you know, were you feeling like you were missing out on all of this fun team bonding? I know it was a huge ask for the team. It wasn't an easy thing by any means, but you're still sitting at home and you're watching your teammates. You know, what's it been like getting back together with everyone at the facility since they've been back from Orlando?
Obviously much, much better being with them here. It was a very strange situation. As I said, this COVID, it's I think changing lives to everybody. But for us, can you imagine? So at the beginning, we were planning to leave my family with my daughter with a baby of 1 month, I think it was that time, or less than 1 month. And I was thinking to leave them alone without being able to bring any of our families here. It was so weird. So obviously I want to go because it's my job, and it was what, after my injury, I wanted to go, obviously. So then I had the quad injury, and they said, look, to go there and not being able to play and even to train with the team, it will be very difficult for us to find you a spot for train there with because the fields were like booked for some hours. So they said to me, listen, maybe the best is that you stay here, you stay with Felipe, and you train here, you try to recover in the best. So it was a very hard notice for me, but then I said, okay, so the bad part is I'm not with my team. The good part is I'll be able to be with my wife and my kids. But yes, then we were with Felipe saying, wow, we are here alone. They are all there. So the day with your teammates, it's something special. And not having them was so difficult.
So Andreu, all of us, I think, have picked up some sort of hobby or new skill during the quarantine. I've started cooking a lot more at home than I ever did before, and I'm really enjoying it. And I fancy myself like an amateur chef now. That's been one of my big hobbies. Have you picked up anything? Have you started doing any growing as a person outside of soccer since the pandemic?
Yeah, but I'm the same. Yeah, I've been cooking more than ever in my life. I cooked a lot. I cooked a lot, and you can ask Kurt or Tosh. I made some healthy donuts. It's my.
Ooh, yeah, yum! Yeah. That sounds good.
What health? Wait, hang on. Time out. I need to know about this. What makes a healthy donut? How do you make a healthy donut?
A donut without sugar, without butter, without flours or bad flours. Yeah, it's crazy.
Andre, thank you so much for the time. I think I speak for all of us when I say we're so happy to see you back and healthy. We could tell how much it meant to you to be out there on the field. And good luck these last few games. And you got to get us that recipe for the healthy donuts, okay?
I will, for sure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. That is Andre Ufantas, defender for Sporting Kansas City and pumpkin flavored donut master right there. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Carter Augustine and Jacob Peterson. We'll get you ready for this next game on Wednesday night against FC Cincinnati right after this on the Sporting KC Show. All right, back to wrap things up on another edition of the SKC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video content. Great stuff from Andre Ufantas. And guys, it was really interesting, I thought, to hear him talk about what it was like to be away from the team. While Carter, you guys were all down in Orlando, he and Felipe Gutierrez couldn't go. They were isolated from the team. And I thought the part, Jacob, maybe you can identify with this as a guy that played, you know, the game for so long. He said, when you're injured, you realize how much you love what it is that you do for a living. And I just wonder for Andre Ufantas, you know, maybe he is one of those guys that has that reinvigorated spirit as well by just getting a chance to be out on the field after having it taken away from him for over a year now.
Yeah, I mean, being injured is the worst, right? Especially these long-term type of injuries like he had. And then throw in, obviously, 2020, where he's not even in the same city as the team. I mean, that's kind of your support system. Those are all, you know, your friends. You know, that's what you look forward to doing. And when you're not around that group and you're rehabbing by yourself, I mean, it gets lonely. And I think that, like you said, the fact that he has been able to play the way that he has is just so impressive. And maybe it is. Maybe, you know, being away from it all, you know, kind of lights that fuse and gets him going again, because he's been good. But there's no doubt about it. That's tough. I mean, a lot of athletes struggle with, you know, even depression-like stuff when they're going through long-term injuries like that, just because you're missing out on everything that you've known really your entire life.
All right, guys, let's move forward. FC Cincinnati on Wednesday night. And Ali, this is a Cincinnati team that you got to do some mental gymnastics to convince yourself that they're a good team. I mean, they don't have much offensively. They've struggled through the course of the year. But Peter Vermes did that at his news conference today. And I think it's right. I think all you have to say is MLS. I mean, right? There's no such thing as an easy game at any point in time in MLS. But what is it that Peter Vermes had to say, and what do you think maybe are the biggest challenges for Sporting going into this game?
Yeah, I think Sporting's really maintained the same mindset each week, and that's not to look too far ahead to the playoffs and really keep their next opponent just top of mind and really their main focus as they prepare. And, you know, really not looking past any game is going to be so important. But he said it's MLS. You never know what's going to happen. And I think what's really maybe the one advantage that this FC Cincinnati team has is that they've got nothing to lose. If they don't win this game, I mean, this is a must win to even have a slight playoff chance. Sporting Kansas City could punch their ticket with a win or a draw in this game. So they've got more on the line than FC Cincinnati do. But Vermes also made a point to mention that, you know, this is a tough team to play at their home field. You know, they don't score a lot of goals, but if you are getting shut out of the game and you're not finding your rhythm and not finding ways to get the ball in the back of the net and you keep any team in the game, you know, we've seen this plenty of times this season with Sporting Kansas City and plenty of other teams in the league. It's not a good spot to be in. So I think while Sporting definitely has the advantage in this game from a talent perspective, every area of the game they've dominated and statistically are better than FC Cincinnati, but you can't look past any opponent and Sporting Kansas City definitely have more on the line here. And as you mentioned, Nate, many times now, with so much uncertainty with how, you know, the playoffs are going to be seeded, and is it going to be points per game? Is it going to be, you know, your final number of points? What's going to determine, you know, how teams are seeded in the playoffs? You got to maximize the number of points. And so Sporting Kansas City really do need to go out and just secure a win, business-like, and come out with 3 points.
Carter, it's been a rough launch for this Cincinnati team compared to the other teams we've seen expansion-wise so far. And it's kind of disappointing too, because they look like a city and a market that was really ready for Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I think their first year was really a disappointment, just how they handled a lot of things, stocking up on draft picks like it was the NFL draft was an interesting tactic in the year 2019. So hopefully they get things turned around. I agree, the turf is going to make it a really interesting game for one. And you look at their home record, I think they're 2-4-4 at home. So that means they've got 6 results from 10 home games. So that's, you know, that's something that Sporting KC will have to be mindful of. And they've still got they have some decent players. Harris Madunian, I think, is a pretty good player. I know he's getting up there in terms of his age, but if they allow him to get time on the ball, he's a guy that can play passes all over the field. They're scoring once every other game, so it's not the most impressive goal scoring record. So I think Sporting KC will hope to keep that defensive solidity in this one. And you sneak a goal like you did against Colorado and kind of break it open, and I think they can run away with it.
Jacob, I'm curious how you think Sporting approach a game like this. You've been a part of road teams when you go away from home, and Sporting KC, a lot of times if a team goes away from home, they might be looking to have the home team drive the game. But because of what Ali laid out in terms of the fact that Sporting are playing possibly for first place in the West, and Cincinnati are at the bottom of the table, do you think Sporting looks to drive the game more than they maybe normally would in a away game? What do you expect in that regard?
Yeah, if I was still a player, right, I would say exactly what Peter has been saying. This is a good team. They can beat us. You know, kind of that type of line. But I mean, bottom line is Cincinnati's terrible. They're one of the worst teams I've ever seen in MLS, to be honest. I mean, 11 goals scored. The next closest is 19 in the league. I mean, this team is not good. So yes, it's not like Sporting's going to Seattle or up in Portland where there are good teams there and, you know, they want to get on the ball and knock it around. I mean, Cincinnati is not even close to those teams. So Sporting should go in there, look to dominate possession, basically play it like a home game. The turf, like both Carter and Ali say, it's tough. It's not an easy environment, but Sporting's been training on turf. You know, enough players that have played on similar surfaces to where it's not going to be a complete shock. But I would say the only thing that maybe would give Cincy a little bit of life is this is their last ever home game at Nippert Stadium there. I mean, maybe some of the players who have been there for a while maybe are a little bit more inspired, but I mean, I said I did a deep dive through all the stats and everything a couple of days ago, and every single offensive category, Cincinnati's, you know, last in or second to last in. I just don't know how this team's going to score goals. Sporting Kansas City, though, for me, they've got to have a good start, and we said it. You know, it's a lot of teams in this league. You could say this, but Cincinnati, if they get scored on first, they have 0 points. So they have 0 points from a losing position, where Sporting Kansas City is one of the best in the league in that, you know, that usually the better teams can fight back. And again, if Sporting can score early, you know, I think we could see the floodgates open up a little bit just because the Cincinnati team is so down. And I mean, I expect Sporting to dominate this one from the get-go.
Yep, I think the point is it's MLS, so you can't take anything for granted. Nothing's easy, but if you want to be a team that wins the West, this is the kind of game you got to go win, right? I mean, it's, and guys, to wrap it up, I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't know about you guys, but it kind of all of a sudden just hit me that we're in the home stretch, man. Like there are three games left, as far as we know, in the regular season, and it is razor thin, right? Like they're going to be, and this game, I feel like for Sporting, this is a big game because this is the only game where you're a clear-cut favorite in, I feel like. I mean, okay, you come back home, you're going to be a favorite against Minnesota, but we know Minnesota's a good team, right? Like that's a good soccer team. It's a playoff-caliber soccer team. Then you go on the road to Real Salt Lake to close things out. You can win all three of those games. I'm not saying you can't, but I feel like if we are talking at the end of the season about this being the first-place team with home field advantage in the West, that's going to include 3 points against Cincinnati. I feel like it almost has to. So that's exciting, right? Like all of a sudden, and I'll let each of you kind of have a final thought here as we wrap it up. But Ali, that's, people should be excited about this last three games. The playoffs almost feel like they're starting right now for me.
Yeah. And I think that seems to be the way that Sporting's really approached this last stretch of games here. Even, you know, before Polito's return and before this Colorado game, you look back to that awful week where Sporting probably should have gotten out with at least 4 points and end up only getting away with one. And Carter, I think you mentioned it, it seemed to galvanize the team, and you've seen their confidence even through some of that disappointment and frustration. You see it culminate into the game against Colorado where, yeah, you're playing against a rusty Colorado team that didn't look great, but you still score 4 goals. There's something to be said there. And I think that the confidence that gives you on top of the minutes that some of these players have been getting, like Jalen Lindsay, it just seems to be a really confident team right now that's starting to figure out some of the things that were holding them back during that kind of slump in the season where they were dropping some games, conceding easy goals. And it seems like they're becoming more and more complete as the weeks and the games progress. So really exciting time. This is, again, probably the most complete that this Sporting team has seemed since the beginning of the season, where they were just completely dominating in Vancouver at home against Houston. So a loss or a tie to FC Cincinnati would maybe take some of the wind out of the sails, which is another reason why I think it's such an important win to really have that momentum carry into the final stretch of games to put, you know, the team in a great position heading into the playoffs, both mentally and then obviously in the standings as well.
Yeah, I think you both made points that I really agree with there. One from Ali, that the team seems to be coming complete right at the right time right now. And this 4-0 victory for me kind of solidified the feeling that this team has the capability to go all the way. There's some 2018, 2013 vibes where this team is very good. They can beat anyone on any given day. And then I agree with you, Nate, that if they want to be the one seed in the West, it feels like you have to beat Cincinnati. You got a point lead on Seattle right now. They have a game in hand. They've got 3 away games in a row, but you look at their schedule, it's Vancouver away, Colorado away, Galaxy away, and then home to the Quakes. So 4 teams that you would expect Seattle to be favorites in, even though they're playing 3 of them on the road. You're going to be hoping they drop points in one of those games, but to expect them to drop points in 2, you know, that might be a big expectation. So yeah, I agree that this Cincinnati game is big if they want to finish first in the West. And finishing first in the West could be huge, not only for home field, but that means Seattle and Portland are probably second and third, and that means you only have to play one of them. So yeah. There's the seeding, like you said, Nate, it's razor thin right now, and the seeding could be very, very important.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. I feel like the team is peaking. You know, every single year as a player, and obviously this season's different just with all the stops and starts, but you always want to be playing your best as you're heading in. And very rarely has Sporting been doing that. I feel like even when I've been on teams here where we were good, you know, we kind of faltered later on in the season. And Carter, I feel like there is that vibe of, all right, they're hitting their stride here. You know, they're playing well. Even those games on the road, game in Dallas, they executed the game plan, just unlucky bounce off of Tim's back and head, and then, you know, a goal that they should have really come out of there with a point. And then Chicago, they played well. They dominated that game. They deserve 3 points. And, you know, the home games before, they got 9 points in that week there. So this team is playing well. And, you know, I know there's this you know, you, there's this underdog mentality kind of with Kansas City and with Sporting. And I get that because, you know, it's kind of like us against the world type of mentality, but man, I want this team to embrace now that they are the favorites, you know. Pressure is a privilege, as Doc Rivers would say. You know, take that, you know, embrace that type of challenge, saying we know we're better than you and we're going to go out on the field and prove it. And there's that kind of killer instinct that I know that this team has. And I think it starts on Wednesday. And if they can do that, I really think that this season there's something special there for this group.
Going to be a lot of fun, and it starts on Wednesday night at Cincinnati, 6:30 kickoff time. That means our pregame on Fox Sports Kansas City starts at 6 o'clock. You can watch the game on Fox Sports Kansas City, and you can also listen to the game on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, that's going to do it for us, for Allie, Carter, Jacob, and for Andreu Fontas. This is Nate Bucchetti saying thanks for watching. We'll see you next Tuesday on the next edition of the Sporting KC Show.